to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark LeVonier, and coming up in this hour, old-time radio programs for the new year. Later on, it's Quiet Please, but first a broadcast of The Mysterious Traveler called New Year's Nightmare. This Mutual Broadcasting System episode first heard on January 5th, 1947.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back and get a good grip on your nerves. If you can. Where are we going? Well, let us say for the moment, we're taking a little trip into time. And a story I call New Year's Nightmare. As the old year entered its last minute, the crowds at the Club Tropicana were waiting expectantly for the clock to strike midnight. At a ringside table, a lovely young woman angrily whispers to the man with her.
Chris, if you take another drink, I'll leave.
Oh, Judy, this is New Year's Eve. It'll be 1947 in another minute. Gotta celebrate, don't I? Just one more.
Just one more, just one more. That's what you always say. I wouldn't mind if it were just tonight, but you're always getting drunk.
Waiter, another bottle of champagne.
Nothing I say means anything to you, does it? You think because I've forgiven you a dozen times in the past, I'll do it again. But you're wrong, Chris.
Happy New Year, darling. 1947 is going to be our year.
No, Chris, it isn't. I won't marry a man who gets drunk in New York and wakes up the next day in another city.
Oh, Judy, what are you saying? You don't mean that. You know I love you.
Yes, Chris, you love me. But not enough to give up drinking. I'll miss you, Chris. Miss you terribly. But I know I'm doing the right thing.
Judy, don't talk like that. I couldn't live without you. You know that. Won't you?
I'm sorry, Chris. Here's your ring. Will you please take me home?
You don't have to leave. The sight of my drinking is too much for you. I'll go someplace else and do it. Martin will take you home. Happy New Year, and goodbye.
Do you mind finishing that drink, mister? It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm dead on my feet.
Sure. Sure, I'll drink up. No matter what she says.
That's right. Now, you better go home and sleep it off. Good night, and a happy 1947 to you.
Thanks. And the same to you. Cold. Gotta find another bar. New Year's. Gotta celebrate. Another bar across the street. Oh, gotta celebrate.
Hey, mister, look out for that car! You're gonna get run down if you don't! Look out!
Oh, my... my head. Oh, it feels so funny. What's that noise? Those horns.
Why, darling, it's midnight. New Year's.
Oh, my head, it's throbbing so. Where am I? How did I get here?
Why, darling, you live here.
Live here? What are you talking about?
Charles, I'd better call Dr. Smith. You look so strange. Hello? Connect me with Dr. Smith's apartment, please.
I've never seen this place before.
Hello, doctor? This is Blanche Arnold. Yes, it's Charles. He isn't well. Could you come to our apartment at once? Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
What do you mean, I live here? Who are you? Where am I?
I'm your wife, Charles. This is our home, don't you remember?
You're my wife? Well, you can't be. I'm not married. What am I doing here? What's your game?
Charles, can't you remember anything about us?
What are you talking about? I never saw you before. And why do you keep calling me Charles? My name is Chris. Chris Andrews.
Chris Andrews. So that's what the initial CA stood for.
Oh, that noise out there. What are they making such a racket for?
Because it's midnight, New Year's Eve.
Midnight? New Year's Eve? But it was midnight hours ago when I left the Club Tropicana. What are you talking about?
Oh, that must be Dr. Smith. I'll answer it.
Dr. Smith? I don't know any Dr. Smith.
Oh, come in, Doctor. I'm so glad you're here. I think it's the amnesia. It seems to have left him all of a sudden. Charles? It's Dr. Smith.
I don't know him, and I don't know you. And please stop calling me Charles. I told you my name is Chris Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Won't you sit down, Mr. Andrews? I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes.
What about?
Tell me, Mr. Andrews, what's the last thing you remember before finding yourself in this apartment?
Why, Judy. She and I were at the Club Tropicana, celebrating New Year's Eve.
I see.
I remember we quarreled about my drinking. I walked out on her and had a few drinks someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can recall. Oh, my head. I've had hangovers, but I've never felt like this before. What time is it?
It's just 4 minutes after 12.
But it can't be 4 minutes after 12, New Year's Eve. That was hours ago when I left the Tropicana.
Mr. Andrews, that was New Year's Eve, 1947.
What do you mean, that was New Year's Eve, 1947?
This is New Year's Eve, 1948.
1948? What are you talking about? It's 1947.
Well, here's the morning paper. You can see the date for yourself.
Thursday, January 1st, 1948. No, it can't be. It can't be. A year gone? Just like that? But where did it go? I haven't lived it yet.
Perhaps you'd better let me clear up a few things for you.
1948.
My name is Smith. I was a resident physician until recently at the Park Hospital. While I was on duty last New Year's Day, 1947, you were brought into the hospital seriously injured, having been run over by a car. When you recovered consciousness 5 days later, you didn't know who you were. You were a victim of amnesia.
Amnesia?
Yes, and we didn't know who you were as you had no identification papers.
But my wallet, letters...
They were gone. The only clue to your identity was a belt buckle with the initials C.A. on it.
We didn't know your real name, so I called you Charles, for the C.
Blanche was your nurse.
I've always liked the name Charles. And as for your last name, we thought Arnold was as good as any, so you became Charles Arnold.
But what have I been doing since the day I recovered consciousness?
Well, you weren't discharged from the hospital until May. Then you went to work as an insurance clerk.
As an insurance clerk? But I don't know anything about being a clerk. I'm a reporter.
Well, there was no way of learning what your occupation had been. So when Blanche learned of this opening in an insurance office, you applied for the position.
And that's where I've been working, up to now?
Yes.
And then after you got your job, we were married.
Married?
Charles, I mean, Chris, don't you remember?
I'm afraid, Blanche, you really can't.
Married. But Judy, oh, it's like a dream. My head keeps throbbing. I keep expecting to wake up. There's that date in the paper. January 1st, 1948.
Doctor, you said he might never get over his amnesia.
Well, that was a strong possibility, but apparently the sounds of New Year's brought back his memory.
A year gone, just like that. Judy, my friends, job, all gone. Doctor, where am I? I mean, what's the address of this apartment house?
You're at 5718 North 13th Street, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? But how did I get to Philadelphia?
That we don't know. All that I can tell you is that your accident occurred just a few blocks from here.
Darling, I know what a shock it must
be. Strange. You must have called me darling many times in the past. And yet this is the first time I've ever heard you call me that.
Yes, I know.
What did you say your name was?
Oh, hello, Doctor. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. How are you, Blanche?
All right, I suppose.
How's Chris getting along?
He's fine. It's just...
Why, Blanche, what's this? I've never seen you cry. Here, here.
No, it's just that everything's so changed. Those 6 months Chris and I were married before he regained his memory were the happiest of my life.
And now?
This past month since he got his memory back, it's been as though I were married to a stranger. It isn't as though he doesn't try to be nice to me, but it's also obvious he doesn't love me.
Now, Blanche, you mustn't say that.
It's true, I tell you. How can a man love a woman those first 6 months as he loved me and then fall out of love with her when he's regained his memory?
Well, you must have patience, Blanche. It will take time for Chris to adjust himself to what's happened. He fell in love with you as Charles Arnold, and I'm sure he will as Chris Andrews. You just must give him time.
Chris! Chris Andrews!
Chris, it is you!
Judy!
Oh,
Judy! Oh, just let me look at you. Oh, this can't be true. You're being here.
Well, it is. It's been a long time.
Yes. A year and a month since New Year's Eve, 1947.
Chris, what are you doing here in Philadelphia?
I live here.
Well, so do I. I got a job with Ryan and Company as a copywriter here a few months ago.
Look, Judy, we can't talk here on the sidewalk.
That's right. Well, look, I live only a few blocks from here. We can go to my apartment.
Oh, that's fine. There's so much I want to ask, and there's so much to tell.
Let me have your hat and coat.
Thank you.
Would you like something to drink?
No, I don't drink anymore.
Oh? Chris, you have changed. You look so much older.
Well, you don't. You're as lovely as that night I saw you last.
Thank you, Chris.
Judy, you'll have to let me explain what happened after I left you that night at the Tropicana. If you find it difficult to believe, I won't blame you. It still seems like a nightmare to me. That night, after I left you. And so now you know everything. From the moment I last saw you to this one.
Oh, no wonder you look different after having gone through an experience like that. Well, you're all right now. You know who you are. You're happily married. You have a job.
I'm not happily married, Judy.
Chris, you mustn't talk like that. Surely you must have loved your wife if you married her, and she hasn't changed.
Judy, there's never been anyone for me but you. You know that. And you still feel that way about me.
No, I don't.
When we met tonight, that old look was still in your eyes. You do care. You know you do.
Please, Chris, no matter how I feel about you, it's over now. You're married, and that's all there is to it. I wish you'd go, and I don't want to see you again.
I expected you home from work hours ago.
I met a friend.
Oh. Oh, you look so tired. Do you feel well?
Blanche, this past month I tried my best to be a good husband, haven't I?
Well, you have been, darling.
No, there's something missing and you know it. Oh, it isn't your fault, it's mine. And as a result, we're both unhappy.
You mustn't say that, Chris. I feel that in time, things will be as they were when we were first married. When you were Charles Arnold.
No, but they won't be, Blanche. It's no use, I tell you.
Chris, who is the friend you met tonight?
The girl I was once engaged to.
I see.
Blanche, you've got to give me a divorce.
No, Chris. I'll never do that.
But why? You know I don't love you. What's the sense in going on like this?
Chris, when you were Charles Arnold, you did love me, and we were happy together. I had your love once, and I mean to win it back. I won't give you a divorce.
Hello, Judy.
Chris. Chris, I asked you not to call on me again.
Judy, I've got to talk to you. May I come in?
Well, all right. But just for a few minutes.
Thank you. Judy, even if we hadn't met again a week ago, things wouldn't have been any different between my wife and myself. I'll never love her. And I'm not going on with her.
What do you mean, Chris?
I'm going to leave her, Judy, and start all over, someplace far away. I just came around to say goodbye.
Are you set on leaving her?
Yes. Nothing can change my mind about that.
Now, you've got to understand my position, Chris. I could never be happy with you if I thought I'd been the one who came between you and your wife. But if you are going to leave her, I would like to see you again when you're free.
Would you, Judy?
Yes. But I don't want to see you until she's given you a divorce.
A divorce? Judy, I am going to be free. Nothing's going to prevent it. Nothing. Blanche, how would you like to go out tonight?
Go out?
Yeah, we might take in a show or go dancing. Didn't I ever take you out when I was Charles Arnold?
Why, yes. We used to have wonderful evenings together then.
Well, why not now? Unless you don't want to.
Oh, Chris, there's nothing in the world I'd rather do.
Hey, why the tears?
Oh, it's just that I'm so happy.
Oh, come here. Did this Mr. Arnold ever put his arms around you like this?
Oh, yes, often. Oh, Chris, stop squeezing me so tight. Chris!
Sorry, darling.
Oh, you almost squeezed me to death.
That's so you remember that I'm your husband and not Mr. Arnold. And Blanche.
Oh, yes, Chris.
I'm taking a week's vacation soon. What do you say if we go up to the Adirondack Mountains for a week of winter sports?
Oh, Chris, I'd love to. Wait, it'll be like a second honeymoon.
Blanche, you all right? There's only a few more feet to the top.
I'm coming, darling. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Oh, Chris. Oh, the view is wonderful from here, isn't it?
You're right. Being up here is like being alone in the world.
Yes, just the two of us. Oh, this past week's been a wonderful one, Chris. I've never been so happy.
Nor have I.
Oh, be careful, Chris. Don't go so near the edge. That canyon's 4,000 feet deep.
Oh, this ledge is perfectly safe. Come over here and take a look at the valley below.
All right. Ooh, please keep your arms around me, Chris. Looking down like this frightens me.
There. You're safe in my arms.
Chris, why are you looking at me that way?
What way, dear?
I don't know. Is your head throbbing again?
No, dear. I don't suppose you've changed your mind about giving me a divorce. Have you?
Giving you a divorce? But I thought we were so happy together.
Yes, that's the impression I meant people to get.
Chris, you can't be serious. Why, everything's been wonderful these past few weeks.
Oh, I see it won't be any use trying to talk you into it.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry, Blanche. I don't want to do this, but you've given me no alternative. It's really your own fault, that you must die.
Let go of me, Chris.
No, you struggling, darling.
No one can see or hear you. You can't possibly escape.
You can't throw me off that ledge, Elsa, then I'll hang you.
I don't think so, dear. We've been so happy these past few weeks, I'm sure the police will see it as an unfortunate accident.
Stop pushing me towards the edge. Chris, don't. No, I'll give you a divorce. I'll give you anything.
I'm afraid it's too late for that.
Good evening, Judy. May I come in?
Why, yes, of course. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm all right. I want to thank you for the note you sent me when Blanche died.
I can't tell you how sorry I was to hear about it, Chris.
Yes, it all happened so quickly.
Mm. What have you been doing since then?
Oh, just working. Trying to straighten myself out.
Yes.
Judy, perhaps I shouldn't talk about it now, seeing that Blanche has only been gone a month, but I've been thinking of leaving town. Will you come with me?
Please sit down, Chris. You make me nervous walking back and forth like this.
All right. But you haven't answered my question.
Well, it isn't easy to answer.
Well, it would be if you said yes. I see in your eyes you mean no. Why?
Chris, I've met someone else recently.
Someone else? But you said if I were free, you'd marry me.
I didn't say I'd marry you. I said if you were free, I'd like to see you again. But now I'm not even sure of that. You're so different from what you used to be.
Stop being clever. If you didn't say you'd marry me, you implied as much.
Please, Chris, you're making it so difficult for me.
I'm making it difficult for you. And I suppose what I've been through doesn't count. I risked my life to get you.
Risked your life? Chris, what are you saying?
Are you such a fool as to believe that Blanche fell off that mountain?
Chris, you didn't.
Yes. And I didn't because you said you'd marry me if I were free.
Oh, no, I meant a divorce.
But she wouldn't give me a divorce. It was the only way I could gain my freedom. And now you tell me there's someone else.
Oh, Chris.
I did it for you. And you're going to marry me.
No, I won't.
If I can't have you, no one else will.
Chris, what's the matter with you? Chris!
We were meant for each other, darling. In life and in death.
Chris, if you come any closer, I'll scream for help. No, don't. Chris, no!
You won't marry me. You'll never marry anyone else. There. He'll never have you.
Hold on there.
I didn't want to do it, darling. But you forced me to. Oh, my head. It throbs so. Everything's like a nightmare.
Open up in there. This is the police.
The police? I've got to get away. Oh, they're closing in on me. There's no escape from this roof.
Let's work our ways out from this end of the roof to the other.
They'll never take me alive. Never. I've got 5 bullets. 4 for them and the last for myself.
Take it easy now, Joe. You may be hiding behind one of those chimneys.
Oh, my head. It keeps throbbing so. If I could only think. All this can't be real. It's like a horrible dream. And yet they're coming for me.
Wait. There's someone behind that chimney over there. Get them to cover.
They'll never take me alive, never. I'll show them.
Keep down, Mike.
Why don't you come and get me? Afraid to shoot it out with me, huh? I'll show you.
Come on, Mike. His gun is empty.
Oh, empty. You'll never take me alive. Never.
He's climbing up on the ledge. It's 15 stories down.
I'm coming, Judy. I'm coming.
He's going to jump.
I'm falling. Falling. You'll never take me. Never. I'm falling. Falling.
Doctor, the patient's recovering consciousness.
Yes, you're right. He's opening his eyes.
Oh, my head. It throbs so. Where am I? Oh, it was a dream. Not real. Oh, thank heaven.
Now, you must be quiet. You've been in a serious accident.
Accident?
Yes. You were hit by an automobile New Year's morning. Would you mind telling me your name? There weren't any identification papers in your clothing, and we'd like to inform your relatives of what's happened.
My name? It's... I can't remember my name.
I see. Well, what about your address? Can you remember that?
No. No, I can't remember anything.
Now, you mustn't get excited. It'll all come back to you. You received a fractured skull from the accident.
There was a mountain.
Mountain? You mean you live near one?
I don't know. There was a mountain, and the police were chasing me. And I jumped off a high building. It's all mixed up.
You probably dreamed that while you were unconscious. But you're all right now. Just need rest and quiet.
Where am I?
You're in the Park Hospital, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? What day is it?
It's January 5th, 1947. It's 7:26 in the evening.
And you don't know my name?
No, all we have is your belt buckle with the initials C.A.
C.A.
Nurse, will you look after the patient now? I'll be in to see him later tonight.
Yes, doctor. Are you comfortable?
The initials C.A. What do you suppose they stand for?
Perhaps the C is for Charles?
Charles? Charles. I don't know.
Well, suppose I call you Charles, just for the time being. I always liked the name Charles.
All right. What's your name?
I'm Miss Thompson, but you can call me Blanche. And Charles, let me be the first to wish you a happy 1947.
This is the mysterious traveler again. Have you enjoyed our little trip? Oh, by the way, I want to wish you all a very happy new year. And I do hope you'll be careful about making new acquaintances. And perhaps you'd better keep an eye on the old ones, too. For after all, who can foretell the future? Not even Chris Andrews, or should I say Charles Arnold, knows what's in store for him. But we do, don't we? And speaking of the future, Oh, you're getting off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of January, 1947, on Mutual, part of their Tuesday evening lineup at 8 o'clock. This is an hour of New Year's programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark LeBonier. And now it was a Wednesday at 8:30 in the evening, where presumably, before people went out to celebrate, they could have tuned in to hear this episode of Quiet Please from December 31st, 1947, called Rain on New Year's Eve.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for tonight is called Rain on New Year's Eve.
It's raining again. Pretty near New Year's, and it's raining again. Back east, it's probably snowing different places. Or maybe the moon's out and shining on the snow and people are saying, why, it's so bright out you can read a newspaper. You can't read a newspaper by moonlight, only the headlines. Maybe if you take your newspaper out in the yard and stand in the moonlight, you might find a headline with my name in it. It's been there before. Well, anyway, so there's moonlight. Here there's rain, like it was that other New Year's Eve. That's what the rain makes me think of. As if I ever thought of anything else. Listen to the rain. I was sitting in my office in the writer's court out there after we'd been on the picture for 2 or 3 months. Writing it, that is. They'd been shooting for about 3 weeks, but I was still on the picture because we had a producer that couldn't make up his mind, and the director was one of those guys, sort of road company Hitchcock, you know. He makes the picture up as he goes along. Only there has to be a writer filed away someplace where he can find him when he runs out of ideas, which is not more than 11 times a day. So I'm dying. I go on the set and I find actors there I never heard of, speaking lines I never wrote in scenes I couldn't figure out. Then the director would get me in a corner and put the arm on me. This thing doesn't seem to quite gel, old man. You know? And me and my little typewriter go to work to unscrew things while the overtime and the gin rummy games go right on. Great life, that. Well, so I'm sitting in my office and the rain is on the roof and the gas heater is frying my ankles while the draft from the window is giving my neck the deep freeze. Mary Lou, my secretary, comes in from her little cubbyhole next to mine.
When do I get to do my Christmas shopping, Mr. Ramsey?
You don't get to do your Christmas shopping, Mary Lou.
Yes, I know. I didn't.
What?
Christmas was 2 days ago, Mr. Ramsey.
Was it? Well, Merry Christmas.
Are we ever going to finish this picture, for heaven's sake?
Well, I'll tell you, Angel. Mr. Doty, the great director, is getting $3,500 a week.
I know it.
And, my dear, Mr. Doty has not got $3,500 a week for a long, long time, see?
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Doty, the great director, is going to make $3,500 a week just as long as he possibly can, and characters like us can, you know what.
That man.
I have a different word for him, sweetheart. But as I was saying, if we leave it to Mr. Doty, this here picture ain't never going to be finished. 100 years from now, somebody will come upstairs here and they'll find an old, old man with a long white beard beating out the 59th revision of scene 456. And in the next room, a little apple-cheeked old lady.
Oh, cut it out.
Yeah.
Oh, when are they going to finish it? No kidding.
New Year's Eve.
Well, maybe there'll be champagne and stuff on the set.
Yeah, no doubt. For the expensive actors and the producers and the fine, upstanding director. For you and me, a nice bottle of 60-cent claret imported from right over there on Ventura Boulevard.
You're so funny.
Yeah, on the contrary.
Well, I'm getting awful sick of this, Mr. Ramsey. We've had to work every single night for the last 4 weeks. Do you realize that?
You kidding? Do I realize? Go get me some coffee, will you, kid? I gotta stay awake for Mr. Doty.
Coffee? I bet you and I could be elected president of Brazil all the coffee we've put away.
Answer the phone.
It's Doty.
Well, we gotta be dignified.
Oh, Lord. Mr. Ramsey's office. Who's calling, please? Oh, yes, Mr. Doty. He's here.
And I'm always here. Ramsey! Yes, Mr. Doty, what seems to be the trouble? I see. Yes, I see, but Mr. Doty, I... Well, that'd mean rewriting practically all the... Well, yes, I know, I mean... But what do you gain that way? What, two monsters? Well, what's two monsters got that one monster hasn't? Oh, yeah, sure, but who scares who? Whom, I mean. But, Mr. Doty, I saw a picture once with two monsters in it, and it was silly. What? Oh, you directed it. I'll be right over. Skip the coffee, Mary Lou.
Two monsters?
Two. Count them, two. And I'll lay you 6-2, and even by the time I get to the stage, you'll be hollering for three.
Take your raincoat. It's raining pitchforks.
Maybe one of them will stab me. I better tell you about this monster stuff. This was a horror picture, you see. Kind of the poor man's Frankenstein. Yeah, they couldn't get Karloff, naturally, and they couldn't use the Frankenstein monster makeup because Jack Pierce over at Universal invented that. I guess Universal owned it. So they had me dream up a monster. And boy, did I dream one up. There's an old book. It's called... No, I guess I won't tell you what it's called. Well, you don't want to take those old books too seriously. You get to believing in them, and... So I kind of swiped this monster out of the book. Well, you'll never see the picture, I suppose, so maybe I better tell you a little about him. No, I guess I won't either. He was the most horrible monster I ever saw, no kidding. And what the makeup department did with my sketch and my description. Oh, boy. Just one thing I'll tell you about him, and you can figure out the rest for yourself. He didn't have any face. You take it from there. But don't kid yourself. He was a thing. They got Ollie Tharp to play the goon. Nice fella, quiet, always grinning, modest. Good actor. Last guy in the world you'd expect to play a monster. Oh, yeah, sure. Karloff did the Frankenstein thing, and he's the mildest-mannered guy in the world. I remember him on the Son of Frankenstein set years ago in his monster suit all gray and green, showing pictures of his new baby to people. That's a laugh. Well, I guess monsters are human sometimes, huh? And maybe humans are... Yeah. Well, all right. I spend 3 hours listening to Mr. Doty run off at the mouth with the whole company having the screaming memes over all this nonsense. It's 12:05 when he finally decides to quit and everybody goes home. They're all burned at Doty, but... Well, they'll wake up in the morning and remember the overtime and they'll feel better. Me? Writers don't get overtime. So I get back to the writer's court and the light's burning in the window and Mary Lou's snoring away with her face in a stack of carbon paper. She wakes up and asks me a question.
How many monsters now?
We got 4 now, I say. Including me. So the next morning it's not raining anymore. The sun is shining bright. And you can see snow on top of the mountains, and it's a very nice day. And monsters are pretty hazy in my mind as I pick up my copy of the reporter and head for the rickety stairway to my palatial office. I'll tell you how much good the sunshine did me. I was whistling as I climbed up the stairs and opened the door.
You might as well turn off the whistle. Mr. Doty's looking for you.
And now what?
He says it's very important.
Yeah, 2 more monsters.
Your coffee's on your desk.
Steaming cold, no doubt.
I just brought it up. Give me 15 cents.
Well, it's your turn to buy this morning.
I bought yesterday.
All right, all right. Hello? No, he isn't here yet. Ah, go ahead.
Mr. Ramsey's office. Yes, Mr. Doty.
Morning, Mr. Doty. How are you? Oh? No kidding. Why, that's fine. What? Oh, of course. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yes, sure.
What's up?
Why, sure, Mr. Doty. Yes, sir, I'll be right over.
What?
He has to finish the picture definitely by 12 midnight December 31st.
Oh, that's what you said last night.
Well, I was kidding. You know how it goes in the story.
I forgot.
Well, I mean the way it was originally. You know, this monster only has power the last hour of the year.
Oh, yes.
Remember, it was a New Year's party, the whole picture?
It's been so long ago, I forgot how we started.
Well, don't you remember our big payoff scene? She thinks the monster is her wicked uncle.
Who thinks?
You know, the babe with the teeth. The goon girl with the blue dress.
Oh, yes.
Remember, she thinks the monster is her uncle, and she tries to rip his mask off, and it ain't a mask?
Something like that.
And the house is on fire, and he grabs her and runs inside the house, and our hero busts in after her and rescues her. Some way I never had a chance to figure out.
Well, how would he do it without his glasses? He'd fall over the stoop.
What stoop? There's hundreds of them in pictures.
Drink your coffee and go see Mr. Doty. Maybe he's changed his mind.
I can't change his mind. The front office put the big fat arm on him, or else. Whoopee, baby, 3 days and we can sit down and rest.
Away from this place.
You can say that again. Tell him I ain't here. Well, sir, that sunshine looked better than ever to me. But when the big door of the stage swung shut behind me, the sunshine sure disappeared. Well, Mr. Doty was an unhappy man. Well, 3 more days and there wouldn't be any more of those $3,500 is. And he didn't like it a little bit. And guess who he took it out on?
This is the worst story I ever had to work with. It positively smells bad.
I didn't say. It's your story, Mr. Doty. All I got left is a monster, and He'll probably turn out to be Santa Claus or somebody.
If you listened to me when I told you how to do it.
I didn't say. I listened to you, Mr. Doty, and now look what we got.
Now I have to give up my beautiful idea of having three monsters instead of one.
Because then we'd have had to reshoot practically the whole picture, and you'd have made another $1 million. I didn't say that either.
So, if you think you could possibly dredge up your original script, I think I can possibly make it into an acceptable B picture. Although that's a task even for a director like me.
Mr. Doty doesn't realize what an unconscious humorist he is. That guy could make a B picture out of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, even if he had the original cast.
So get to work. Get to work and do something. Have I got to do everything around here? Get a move on you.
Oh, I got a move on me. And if you think I disliked that guy up to now, he did to me the last 2 days.
You've got to get some sleep somehow. You've been on your feet for almost 2 days, Mr. Ramsey.
Yeah. Where were we?
Scene 168, long shot interior mansion night. From the top of the stairway, a figure appears indistinct in the shadows. We sense, rather than see, the twisted evil form of the monster as he peers over the balustrade. From the foreground right, the butler appears and starts slowly up the stairway. As he reaches the fourth or fifth step, the camera starts to move in to follow him. We cram up the stairs and the camera holds on the last three steps as the butler reaches the top. Cut to... Hey, wake up!
I'm sorry. Where were we?
Ramsey, you've got to get some sleep. Lie down for 10 minutes.
Gee, I'd sure like to.
Mr. Ramsey's office.
I'm not here.
Yes, Mr. Doty.
All right. Hello? Yes? Sure. I'll be right over.
Oh, Mr. Ramsey, I wish...
You know what, Mary Lou?
Well, put on your coat. It's raining again.
You know what?
What?
I wish I was a monster. You know, I was a tired little fellow. I didn't have any Thanksgiving. I ate a bent ham sandwich in my office that day because Mr. Doty had to have 3 new scenes Friday morning. He called me at the office to see how I was doing. He'd just finished his Thanksgiving dinner, he said. I didn't have any Christmas. I locked the door on my office and beat my brains out on a whole new sequence Mr. Doty had thought up. All around me, people were drinking whiskey and chasing each other through the corridors and up and down the stairs. I didn't have any Sundays, and I didn't have any evenings. I, my friend, damn near lost my mind. All the time, Mr. Doty. Wow. It's no wonder that by New Year's Eve, I was ready to hire a man with a cleaver to extirpate the guy. But I didn't. Nope, I sure didn't. At 9 o'clock, he called me over to the set again. Could I rewrite some dialogue? Well, I crossed him up on that one. I threw out the hash he'd made of my original dialogue and substituted what I'd originally written. It played okay. After 7 different takes, all exactly alike. I went back to my office in the rain.
Mr. Ramsey's office. Yes, Mr. Doty. Yes, Mr. Doty. I'll tell him. Mr. Ramsey.
I heard you.
He needs you right away again.
Okay.
You poor thing.
Only another couple of hours. Hope I can take it.
Take your raincoat. It's raining cats and dogs.
You're telling me. That time it was a little piece of action he couldn't get through his ivory head. I explained it in words of one syllable, carefully avoiding the 4-letter ones. He thanked me, old boy. And I went out into the rain again. Rain. Oh, what rain in California can do to you. I heard of a fellow that jumped into the Los Angeles River once after a week of rain. Ordinarily, he'd break his ankle, but he drowned. You know, it just comes down steadily. Well, I know I could probably be a lot more graphic than that, but... That's all there is to rain in California. It comes down steadily. Ice cold. Steadily. Yeah. Of course, it always stops about the time you've decided to start out on foot for the east. The sun shines and poinsettias bloom and the hills are green. Oh, man, that's wonderful. I guess they have the rain like hitting yourself on the head with a hammer. It feels so good when you stop. Yeah, that's a bum gag, but I was a pretty beat-up character. Three more times that New Year's Eve in the rain. The guy getting meaner and meaner each time. Well, at least it was going to be over pretty soon. It was 10 minutes to 11 when I came into the office and Mary Lou took my coat from me.
You've just got to get a little sleep, Ramsey. Now you sit down at your desk and put your head down and catch 40 winks.
Oh, thanks, Mary Lou. Oh, if I had to see that man just one more time tonight, I would be responsible. I'm not kidding.
I know. You go to sleep.
Well, kid, you're as all in as I am.
Well, at least I don't have to face him.
He's got to stop at midnight. As soon as he's through, should you and me go someplace and have a New Year's drink?
I don't know whether I could keep awake.
Well, let's try, huh?
Okay.
Anybody ever tell you you're a nice gal?
Couple of people.
I could marry a gal like you.
Don't kid people, Ramsey.
I'm not.
See how you feel when you wake up.
I think I love you.
I wish you meant that, Ramsey.
I do. Kiss it for me good night.
Ramsey, you're sweet.
Kiss me good night.
Go to sleep.
So I went to sleep. And I dreamed. Even when I was asleep, I couldn't get that guy Doty off my mind. I dreamed I was on the set. I dreamed they were shooting the last scene, the one where the monster comes closer and closer to the camera till that head of his without any face fills the whole screen. You know how it is in dreams. You're here, and then all of a sudden you're there, and you're one guy, and then you're another, and it's all mixed up. Yeah. I could see the set, and I could hear Doty call out.
What? Roland. Three. Action.
Then I could see this faceless monster coming out of the shadows. Slowly. Slowly, right up to the camera where George Robinson was standing, as tired as everybody else. And I thought to myself, if the audience had any idea that little old milquetoast Ollie Tharp was inside that monster rig, they'd bust. And in the dream, I saw Doty jumping up and down in one of those silly rages of his, and he yelled,
"Cut! Cut! Get back there and try it over. You've got about as much menace as Ramsey over there."
Even in my dreams, he was picking on me. And so they started all over again. My dream got kind of mixed up all right there, and I sort of seemed to be following the monster because I could see Doty's face right in front of me as the monster moved in. When Doty yelled, "Cut!" again, the monster and I didn't stop. I just sort of seemed to follow him right on, farther and farther. I saw the monster's big, hairy hands grabbed Doty. And Doty screamed. And the monster's hands were fumbling at Doty's neck. Doty was fighting, and I saw Doty bite the monster's hand. It was so real, I could almost feel it. And then everything got black in my dream, and there were a lot of bells ringing. And well, that's what woke me up. So I raised my head, and of course, there I was in my office. And I pulled myself up out of it a little, and then I knew what the bells were. They were bells ringing in the new year. The rain was hammering on the roof, and it was tomorrow. So I got up and hollered for Mary Lou.
Mary Lou? Hey, happy new year, Mary Lou.
And she didn't answer. I stepped through the door into her little office. And she was lying on the floor behind her desk. And the look on her face was something I never want to see again. It was a look of the most awful horror anybody could imagine. The kind of look you'd expect to see on the face of someone who'd been literally frightened to death by a monster who had no face at all. So I stood there. After a few seconds, I heard people yelling outside, and I heard somebody yell that Holly Tharp had killed Doty. Somebody else said, no, Holly Tharp was dead, too, with a broken neck in his dressing room. And my hand hurt. When I raised my hand to look at it, right across the thick of my palm were teeth marks. Deep, bloody teeth marks where Doty had bit me when I strangled him. So you see, that's why I say never take any of those old books too seriously. Remember I said I wished I was a monster? Remember what the book said? The monster only possessed his murderous power for 1 hour, the last hour of the year. New Year's Eve again. And it's raining. Got anybody you want murdered?
Quiet, Please, on Tuned to Yesterday from New Year's Eve 1947 on the Mutual Broadcasting System, bringing to a close this hour of New Year's shows from radio's golden era on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy New Year.